Your brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Some of you may recall the radio and then TV show Truth or Consequences. It was hosted at first by Ralph Edwards, then by Jack Bailey, and then, when I was watching the show back in the early 1970s, by Bob Barker. On the show, contestants were asked an off-the-wall quiz-type question, which they quickly had to answer with the truth or else face the consequences, often in the form of a zany and embarrassing stunt. Truth and consequences are at the center of today's gospel reading. But the truth is not some trivial matter, and the consequences are more than momentary embarrassment. The chief priests and the elders of the Jewish people, at a minimum, are less concerned with the truth of John the Baptizer's and so also Jesus' authority than they are concerned with the consequences of that truth for them. This morning, we consider the gospel reading and its truth and consequences for us. From last week's gospel reading of the so-called parable of the workers in the vineyard, our three-year series of readings has jumped over a whole chapter or so of St. Matthew's account to get to this week's gospel reading's truth about authority and its consequences. In between those two readings, the divinely inspired St. Matthew, perhaps most notably, tells about both Jesus' entering Jerusalem in triumph on Palm Sunday, with the crowds saying he was a prophet, and about Jesus' driving out of the temple complex all those who bought and sold, with children crying out for salvation to him as the Son of David. 2 days later, on Tuesday of Holy Week, when Jesus entered the temple complex, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and asked him about his authority to do such things. Apparently, enter Jerusalem as he did, cleanse the temple, and generally teach and perform miracles as the messianic king. Jesus answered their question with a question, asking them essentially the same question about John the Baptizer's authority. Jesus' answering their question with a question may seem evasive to us, but it's consistent with earlier Greek and later Jewish argument techniques. The Jewish leaders should have known the truth of Jesus' authority, just as Jesus knew what the Jewish leaders thought to be true about John's authority. But as the Jewish leaders tried to trap Jesus on the implication of his truth of his authority, Jesus tried to get the Jewish leaders to face the consequences of the truth of John's authority. The Jewish leaders considered the consequences, but they denied knowing the truth. That the Jewish leaders denied knowing the truth is amazing, as their duty was to know the truth. Their unwillingness to commit to John's authority being either from God in heaven or from man on earth essentially makes them less perceptive than the crowd who held that John was a prophet. John, of course, had prophetically pointed to Jesus as the Savior who was to come. The Jewish leaders seem to be both blind to the obvious and deaf to God's messengers. They indict themselves and make clear that their own authority is of men on earth, if they really have any authority at all. Are we by nature any better than they are? In what ways do we challenge Jesus' authority and attempt to stand in judgment of him? How well do we listen to God's messengers? Do we know the truth and recognize its consequences for us? today's Old Testament reading, God, through Ezekiel, clearly says that the soul who sins shall die. In one way or another, we all sin, for we are all sinful by nature. We all deserve to die, both here in time and in torment apart from God for eternity. That is the truth. And its consequences for us is not some zany and embarrassing stunt, but death. Our liturgy repeats what the Bible says. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Through Ezekiel, God says he has no pleasure in the death of anyone, and so he wants us and all people to turn from our wickedness and to do what is right. Through Ezekiel, John, Jesus, and pastors today, God calls us to repent and to turn from all our transgressions, lest iniquity be our ruin. When we turn in sorrow from our sin, trust God to forgive our sin, and want to do better, then God forgives our sin and even our sinful natures. God forgives all our sin, whatever our sin might be. He forgives it for Jesus' sake. Jesus, in today's gospel reading, may have silenced the chief priests and the elders of the people for the moment, but days later they would have their way with him. They plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. They sent a great crowd with swords and clubs to follow Judas and to seize Jesus. And later, they led Jesus away and delivered him over to Pilate to be crucified. The God-man Jesus Christ, to whom, according to his human nature, all authority in heaven and earth had been given, out of love for all people, permitted himself to die on the cross in order to save you and me. His death was not the result of an unfortunate misunderstanding on the part of the uninformed authorities, but the self-serving men of ill will brought about his death. And though they meant it for evil, God meant it for good. On the cross, good triumphs over evil for us. One of the unique things about the authority of Jesus is that it cannot be separated from the proclamation of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is present with the one who bears this authority, especially the authority to forgive sins in the specific ways that God chooses to forgive sins. As we heard in the gospel reading, John's authority and baptism were from God in heaven, and so also are Jesus' authority and baptism from God in heaven. So too, at this baptismal font, water and the word are applied to people of all ages by pastors with the same authority from God in heaven. Those so baptized in his triune name are made his children and disciples, and so they are taught to observe all things that he commanded, things that include making private confession for the sake of receiving individual holy absolution, things that also include holy communion, eating bread that is Christ's body and drinking wine that is his blood for the forgiveness of sins and so also for life and for salvation. The Jewish leaders did not believe John's message, and we know that at least some of them rejected his baptism. But we, who believe God's word spoken through his chosen representatives, also receive his forgiveness in the ways that he chooses to forgive us. In today's epistle reading, we heard St. Paul exhort us to be children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom we shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. Sadly, even we who believe and have Christ working through us still do not always think, say, or do as we should. So with repentance and faith, we live every day in the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has all authority, and he rules over all things for the benefit of his church. And he gives some of his authority to the pastors for the same benefit of his church, his people. Through his means of grace, God forgives us our sins against him. And in turn, we forgive the sins others commit against us. We believe and confess the truth, and we know its consequences for us. The old radio and TV game show Truth or Consequences had in its title that disjunction, either truth or consequences. Either answer the trivia question with the truth or face likely the zany and embarrassing stunt. But as we have realized, today's gospel reading indicates, we have more of a conjunction, truth and consequences. From that conjunction of truth and consequences, there is also a resulting disjunction. Either confess the truth with positive consequences, eternity in heaven, or deny the truth with negative consequences of eternity in hell. Game show host Bob Barker used to end each episode of the game show with a tagline that I will adapt to end here. God grant that all of our consequences are blessed ones. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.